G'day listeners and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast, powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency. I'm your host, Sammy Gordon, and today, guys, I am excited. I know that all of you guys out there, that you all love the investor stories. Our highest rated episodes we ever get on the show are almost always the investor stories. So we've got a very clear direction in the business this year, especially, you know, with the podcast. We're going to be trying to deliver as many investor stories as possible because, you know, you guys get inspired by them. You love them. You want to hear more of them. And obviously hearing different people's journeys, where they've come from, what they've built, and the obstacles that they've overcome as well, is what we really want to try and deliver for you guys. So you can learn and take as much value out of this as possible. Now, speaking of value, and if you are loving the podcast, you will love Sammy Gordon's School of Property. Guys, if you want to learn everything that I did in my portfolio, all the cheat codes, all the ways I got around financing and lending and built the portfolio, you know, from the absolute basics all the way through to the 60 plus property portfolio it is now, make sure you jump over to www.schoolofproperty.com.au and get amongst it. Now, moving on, guys, one of the things that I want to say with this as well, with the investor episodes, is we're going to do something a little bit different to anything we have done before. Now, the guest that I've got on the show today, he is going to be the test dummy. If you love it, at the very end, make sure you're writing in and you let us know what you think. But you're going to have to stay to the end to hear all about it. Now, the man I want to introduce today, he is a legend. I have known this fella for a very long time, and I'm excited to unpack his portfolio. He is one of the buyer's agents at Australian Property Scout. He's been an investor that I have known for a long time now. I knew him as an investor before he actually came and worked with us in the business. He was a client. We bought a few deals for him. He's done very, very well in his own portfolio. And essentially, guys, titling, you know, and heading off, you know, this podcast today is talking about how big Jakey McGregor went from a $52,000 loss on one deal he did to 11 rental properties by 26. Now, big Jakey McGregor, mate, welcome to the show.
Sammy, it's good to be here, mate.
It's good to have you, mate. It's good to have you. You are probably the only guest I've ever had on here that wasn't nervous or wasn't overly nervous before coming on.
Oh, mate, it's deep down, yeah, pretty nervous. But I'm
you sound more nervous now than you've been all week.
No, but I'm pumped.
Mate, Jimmy, Morgs, bloody Jace, all the people that have come on, they've shared their stories, mate. They all got very, very nervous, and they all got the butterflies before they started. So it's good to see you sitting there pretty calm, mate, looking dapper, ready to go.
I'm pumped, mate. It's been a long time coming. I'm keen to get into it.
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful. So, mate, if we talk about this even high level, just to kind of kick off, right? Man, give us a short, like, initial summary of your portfolio. So we're talking 11 rental properties. Mate, you're 26 years old now. Give us a bit of a high level run through before we dive into the journey and where it all started.
11 rental properties, interstate, North Queensland, everywhere, like 4 million current market value at the moment.
Yep.
$2.4 million debt level.
Okay. So that's healthy, man. Yeah, that's healthy. Under 60% LVR. Beautiful.
So 1.6 million in equity sitting there, which is pretty crazy.
So first question comes to mind. I know you're a car lover. Why don't you just sell it all down and buy the McLaren you've always wanted?
Mate, I think about it every day. Honestly, my car just broke down a few days ago. I'm thinking of doing I'm getting a lot of equity out soon, and we'll see.
Tempting, huh? It's tempting.
You never know.
Maybe next time you rock up,
live in Bali for the next few months.
Mate, you did. You made me a very tempting offer this morning. You picked up the V-Dub Golf rental car, and you made me a very tempting offer of swapping it for the Ferrari for the weekend. But, mate, I had plans. I unfortunately wasn't able to take you up on the offer for the weekend. So sorry about that, mate.
Oh, that's all right, mate. You just killed all my hopes and dreams there.
Oh, mate, we've had a couple of fun burns in that thing.
Yeah, I understand. There's a couple of stories behind that one.
For sure. Mate, I'm excited to jump into it. I want to get straight into this thing. Now, I know, man, you come up, you grew up in the Gold Coast. Man, you got a cool story. I know your old boy, and obviously your parents are investors as well. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know. I don't even know the full deep backstory. And this is a funny thing. You know, you're one of my best mates. Jimmy's one of my best mates. Jace is as well. And it's funny, man. You jump on, you do the potty with him, And I always preempt you guys like a week out with a few questions. Like, yep. I want you to start thinking about this. Yep. I want some old memories coming back out. Mm-hmm. Man, there's always things I jump on, you know, with Jace and his 2 years in the States as a pastor's son, you know, whatever the hell that's called, all the rest of it. Mate, all this stuff came out. Jimmy, the same thing, things that I never knew about him. Yep. Man, I'm excited to dive into your backstory and hear these things that, mate, I've never heard before as well. And probably a lot of people that know you don't know too. So
yeah, 100%.
Man, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Dug up a lot of past emotions and stuff I forgot about. Keen to get into it.
Beautiful. Mate, let's do it. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. What I want to start with is like, what got you thinking about your first deal? Like really, this is coming back to the first property. It's all going to lead into the first property. Mm. But what got you interested in property to begin with?
Going way, way back, like before I even thought about buying a property, any of that.
Yeah.
My old man, he had a couple of properties. When I was younger, I was always working with him. Like, he'd take me along to job sites and I'd be just working in the backyard with him. And, you know, I'm always around him sort of watching him work and what he's doing and whatnot. And where it honestly started, where I planted the seed was funny. Like, I was probably like 10 or 11 years old. Yeah. And he took me, he had to do on one of his, he does all the work on his own investment property.
Was it, he's a chippy, right?
No,
he's a plumber. Yeah, that's where he got into it. Okay.
Yeah. He took me along with him one day to one of his investment properties. I think we were doing something out the back, like clearing trees or something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some backyard work. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was telling me that this is his property.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was young. I was like, why does this guy have two properties? Like, why does he need two houses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. Then going through there, he just explained to me like why investment properties, why he has a second one, and that's what planted the seed.
And at the time, did he only have two, or did he have more than two?
He had two. So yeah, he had his principal place residence and two investment properties as well.
Cool. So, and two investment properties.
Yeah, two.
So
two.
He actually had three properties.
Yeah.
So you must have thought he was like a tycoon or something.
Yeah, I was like, wow, what the hell? Like, what is this guy doing?
What's he doing on the side? What's he got these houses for? Yeah, mad. Yeah, okay, so that was at like 10 or 11. That was like the first taste of it, right?
Yeah, that's what planted the seed.
Okay.
And then I didn't think about it for the next couple of years.
Okay. But, until he took you back there for a bit of child labor again.
Literally. Just child slavery, yeah. Never got paid for it. But
you probably got a Buffalo Bill or something though, right? Bit of fish and chips.
Oh.
No?
Yeah, I just got more work. Like, mow the lawn. I'm grateful for it because, he's a very hard worker. Like, that's where I've got my work ethic from, just watching him through. I was a young fella. I didn't think about property for the next few years after that. It probably got to I stuffed around a lot as a kid.
Okay.
I was heavily into sport. Throughout
you're a ballerina, yeah?
Yeah, ballerina. Yeah.
You got the build.
Yeah, strip. Nah.
That's the natural evolution, mate. Natural evolution.
Yeah.
Okay, so you played footy when you were younger, yeah?
Yeah.
So you played a lot of footy and what happened with school? Like, how long were you at school for? When did you start working?
When did I start working?
Yeah.
First job.
Yep.
First job, I was actually a glassy.
Really?
At the turf club, at the races.
No way.
Yeah, I was
really?
Running beers out to people.
Really? Oh, man. How good. How old were you then?
Oh, like 15.
Okay.
14, 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then with school, when did you leave school and start your first like proper full-time job? So you're 14, 15, you're getting a bit of pocket money on the side. 10 or 11, you're a child slave labor.
I went through all school. So I graduated.
Yeah.
Did
you?
Yeah,
right.
Just graduated.
There you go. I thought you were a high school dropout like me.
No.
The story's not going to be as impressive then.
Yeah. I could have dropped out. I just passed. Okay. Graduated.
Okay.
I wasn't in school. Like, I wasn't the most book smart person. Yep. I just wasn't interested in school. Right? Yeah. I stuffed around a little bit. I was fully into school. I passed PE class, flying colors.
Oh, that's good.
But going into the story more behind property. I was coming to like my last few months before graduating, like friends and like everyone at school, like in my grade, like they all had their plans. They were going to uni. They were going to do this. Everyone knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, it's getting pretty close now for graduating. So I didn't know. I have no idea what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I remember this one comment one of the boys made to me at school.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact conversation, but we were getting into it a little bit. And the last thing he told me was like, we'll see where you are in 5 years, and we'll see where I am in 5 years.
Really?
And mate, that just lit the biggest fire.
What in me. A dog.
Yeah, I was like, you're cute.
Really?
Yeah, that lit the biggest fire in me.
Yeah.
And I was just
you
like,
know, are you still mates with this bloke?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
That'd
yeah.
be funny.
Yeah.
When he hears this.
Yeah. But yeah, that just lit the biggest fire in me, and I was like, after that, there's no way I'm not stopping until like I become successful in something. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna find it and I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, I didn't know what I was gonna do. I looked back to my old boy.
Yeah.
He had a pretty successful plumbing business. Mm-hmm. Like he did all right for himself.
Yep.
A couple investment properties. So I was like, you know what? Well, what else am I gonna do? Got a plumbing apprenticeship mm-hmm. and just told myself like I'm gonna be the first one to buy a property. I'm gonna buy a property as quick as I humanly can. So yeah.
So try and get on the same sort of trajectory as the old boy and start doing that
yeah,
thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so were you working for the old boy when you came out? Or you went with someone else, plumber wise?
I was working for someone else. Like
okay.
Me and my old boy are like pretty opposite.
Okay.
So he's more of like chill, laid back.
Yeah.
Like he has his own particular way of doing stuff. Yeah, yeah. I just go in head first and just smash it out. Like I think we'd butt heads a little bit.
Yeah.
But so I got a plumbing apprenticeship lined up the day after schoolies.
Yep. So yeah, right. So you made sure you had some fun at schoolies and then you got the apprenticeship straight after?
Yeah, the day after. I think schoolies finished on the Sunday, then yeah. Monday morning,
you're
5 a.m. I'm straight into it.
Wow. How was that? How did that feel?
I honestly was loving it. Eh?
Struggle like, street, but on the first day, were you good?
Yeah. Oh, man, just young, you know, like then.
You recover quick. You recover real quick.
You get through anything. Like these days.
Did you sleep that night?
Couple of hours. Nah, these days, man, I wouldn't have got better till Wednesday probably. but so I went into that. I was first day, on the first day I'm on the shovel just digging holes all day.
Yeah, yeah. Old plumber, the old apprentice plumber.
Yeah. But my goal, I was just like, I want to be the first one to buy a property. And I just want to show everyone at that school.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just show them. So yep. I set a goal. There was nothing else behind it, but just buying a property as quick as I possibly could.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. All right, man. Well, then talk us through. So how old were you at that point when you've got that, when you were in the apprenticeship, you started the apprenticeship with 17, 18?
17.
17?
Yep.
Yeah, sweet. And how old were you when you bought your first property?
19.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. So we're talking 2 years here until you bought your first deal. Mm-hmm. Man, talk us through the journey between when you've started, you're on the tools, you're on the shovel, you're digging trenches for the plumbers.
Mm.
You know, you're undoubtedly a bit of a dog's body on site, mm. which is sweet. You still got a bit of a dog's body, but
what's
all right.
a dog's body? Mean?
Dog's body.
What do you mean?
You're just the shit kicker. You just get you anything.
Oh, yeah,
get you to do
mate,
anything.
100%. You know what I mean? 100%, yeah.
You've not heard that. I thought you were
dog's body.
Mate.
Oh,
right. So anyway, so you're doing that. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Essentially you're doing that. You're the apprentice. You're on apprentice wages. So how much are you making at this time as well?
Man, I was on $9 an hour when I first started.
$9 an hour.
$9 an hour.
That's what you're on now at APS, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm on $8 an hour. Don't get that wrong.
All right, sweet. And then between then, okay, so how have you saved? If that's how much you're making, how have you saved enough for your first deal?
Mate, the first 2 years, I was doing overtime every single day.
Yep.
Like 10-hour days every single day, pretty much every single Saturday there was work. I was working Saturdays.
Yep. What was the overtime? You're getting $9 an hour during the normal hours, or was it overtime?
Overtime was time and a half.
Okay.
And then Saturdays were double.
Beautiful.
So I love doing Saturdays.
Big $18 an hour.
Yeah. Man. Well,
King.
Back then, mate, I felt like the man on
100%.
That money. But so that for the first 2 years, that's all I was doing, just working my guts out.
Yep.
To try and get that bloody house deposit as quick as I could.
Yep. All right, cool. So you've been working your guts out. You're 2 years straight, you're doing your OT, you're getting time and a half during the week, you're getting double times on the Saturdays, you're feeling like a king. How are you living at this point? You're 18, 19. Are you going out partying every weekend? Like how are you saving this money for your first deposit?
I was so frugal, like going out. I went out a little bit actually.
All right.
But
BYO? Bottle of vodka instead.
Yeah, how I got through it was there was $9 bottle of vodkas.
Okay.
Never bought a drink out.
Really? Always get a chick to buy it for you, or
100%.
Really?
Yeah, just chatting them up, and
you have to give me the secrets on that one. No, I'm a gentleman. Yeah. I'll buy a woman a drink.
I don't know about that, man. Actually, that just reminds me, I would never pay for a cab home.
Really?
I did sometimes.
What do you mean? You just said I'll never pay for a cab home, and now I did sometimes. Get your story. Okay, so it depends who you're going home with.
Yeah, pretty much. But there was a few times where I think it was like I didn't want to pay for a cab, so I'd run home.
Yeah, it's good.
Early in the morning. Mm. Man, I'm not paying $70. It's a whole week's wage.
That is big. Know? Yeah, true. True, especially if there was no OT that week. That's done. All right, beautiful, man. Okay, sweet. So you've saved your ass off. You've been super frugal. You know, you've been diligent when you've been out and not blowing your money on silly stuff, which is, I think these days also, it's almost like a little easier, I think, at the point in time we are right now, because it's so easy just to order your Ubers and all the rest of sort of stuff as well. Whereas waiting for a cab compared to doing a jog home. You're a young, fit bloke, yeah, bloody, you know what I mean? On the tools.
Get back in 15 minutes.
The dog's body. So that's good, man. That's good. Get back in 15 minutes. How short's the cab ride? What's this $70 cab ride?
Man, that's what they're charging back then. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm poking holes in this story very quickly, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'm calling bullshit on the $70.
$60. There was a few $70.
Yeah, I know. I've had a couple of big boppers as well, mate. It's all good. I get you. I'm only pulling your leg. Mate, talk me through property number one. Let's get into it. Let's get into the first deal. Where was it? How much was it? Deposit levels, all the rest of it. What made you buy this deal? Why did you buy it?
Right, first one, why I bought it was... I was looking into, I loved the area because it was close to, it's on the Gold Coast, by the way. I loved the area because it was close to the university and the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know much about property back then, but yep. I just like put two and two together. I'm yep. like,
well, surely
this thing's going to rent out. Like it's right next to the university, yeah. You know what I mean? And then I looked further into it, and this was back before Gold Coast had any of the tram lines.
Yep, yep.
And it was a big thing they were talking about in that
Bring
year.
Bring it in. Yeah.
So I was looking up like where this
what
tram
year
was
this
going
to be?
2017?
Yeah, pre-Commonwealth Games, yeah? Because they brought it in for the Commonwealth Games 2018.
Yeah, cool. Well, they were building it as I bought the property.
Okay.
And I looked up like where they were building it and where it was going. And the tram line was going, it was the one of the main tram stops was like 5 minute walk from the property I was buying.
Really?
And it wasn't built yet.
Is this the same 5 minutes as like the $70 cab ride? Like, is that the same like 5 to 15 minute ratio?
Maybe 10 minutes. No, it was, honestly, it's 5 minute walk, 100%. I've timed it. I've got right, to stop. So,
here we go. Have you timed the old run from back in the day?
Yeah. But so I just put two and two together and I was like, surely this thing grows if that gets built, right?
Yeah.
Like, I knew nothing about property. Yeah, I'm just, you know.
Just like those like real basic when you're first doing it. Oh, well, if that's there, surely it's going to grow. I did the same thing in Wollongong. It was exactly the same thing. Yeah. Uni, hospital, like, all the rest of it, man. It was the same thing when I bought my first one.
Yeah. There was a bit of a pun. I'm like, yeah, surely. Like that's the only reason I bought it.
Yeah.
I went into the open home. But I paid $421 for it.
Okay. $421,000. All right, deal one.
Mm.
Yep.
Market value at the moment is $800.
Well, yeah.
Renting at the moment for $675. It's a bit. It's not a bit under market value. Probably yep. should be like $50 higher. $720, $725.
Okay.
But I'm good tenant in there, looking after him. So.
Beautiful. Can I ask you, when you bought it, did you buy it as a primary residence, as a first home, or did you buy it as an investment?
Investment.
Okay.
Yeah, investment. There's a funny story how I negotiated on this one.
Here we go. Here we go.
So I went into the open home. There's actually another. There was another bloke there.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the property. He's my age, and he was a plumber as well.
Yeah.
And he was like, we were out the back, like talking about the hot water system. He's like, he was so keen on it. Eh? He's like, if I'm gonna buy this, I'm gonna change this hot water. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were in the kitchen. He was putting an offer in. And I was standing behind him. I was probably standing like a meter behind him just waiting to talk to the agent.
So he put $420 in.
He's putting an offer down and he's talking to the agent. He's like, yeah. What should I put in? The agent's like, oh, they'll take $420. Like, I'm hearing the whole conversation.
I saw exactly where that was going. Yeah.
So we're in the kitchen. He's like writing down his offer on the kitchen bench.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about $420. I'm like, all right, cool. 5 minutes goes by. He walks out. I come and start talking to the agent. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to offer. Don't you? And she gives me the offer for my putting down $421.
Yeah. It's very strategic negotiations there, people. Yep, make sure 100%. You write that one down. Get behind everyone. Listen in on people's phone calls. What are they offering?
Yeah, literally. But so I put my offer down, $421, yep. And comes Monday morning, she calls me and goes, yeah, you got the property.
You got a house.
So I wasn't too surprised that I got it. Yeah. but I was so pumped, yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
That's mad. So was the market pretty dead at the time? It was just you and old mate?
Yeah. No, back 2017 was dead. We were the only it was only him and me at the open home.
Yeah, sweet. So what made you go buy that? So that was why you bought that property, but you just had it burning in your mind from a couple of years earlier that you wanted to get into a deal.
Mm. I just wanted to get in as quick as possible.
Yep.
And I did it within 2 years.
Okay.
2017, I was 19.
Old mate that said in school he was going to be 5 years, like you're going to be nowhere and you're going to be fucking, he's going to be on the moon or whatever. What was he doing at that time?
Man, I'm pretty sure he was, I'm pretty sure he was like a couple of years into uni.
Okay.
Working part time somewhere.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. Yeah. And you've got your first deal. Mm. Beautiful. All right, man. I love that. It's something like it's very interesting because I've got a very similar story in the sense of I dropped out of school even younger, just got working and went out there and did that. And everyone like kind of, they look at people when they go into uni as like, oh, that's where you make the money. That's where you can build yourself a great career and all the rest of it. But it's so funny, man. You look at these days, so many at tradies, even laborers these days, man, make bloody good money. But tradies, laborers, people in sales, all that sort of thing. You don't need to go to uni to make decent money. Right. But it's so funny as well. Like, yeah, man, well, this is going to be one of my big takeaways at the end. Because you just saying it's just reinforcing the fact of like, same thing. Like I wasn't the smartest book smart guy in the world, but I hustled hard when I was outside of school. I worked my ass off, trying to make as much as I could, had desires, had goals, went hard after them. And you look at like where I am now and what I've kind of built, you don't have to be the smartest person in the world. And I think that's the message out there for people is like, no matter where you are, no matter how smart you are, you might be extremely intelligent and that's a great thing. But just because you may not be, doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So many people you look at it that have done extremely well in the world, they haven't gone to uni. They haven't even graduated high school, all these sorts of things. So many people are like that. So, man, I love that that's part of your story as well. And you were just hungry to get there before anyone else that you knew as well. That's mad. I love that.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
What did your family say when you – what did the old boy say? He's three properties. He was a bit worried you're on the chase or what?
No, he was pretty pumped on the first one. Yep. So was mum, yeah. They were pretty proud. Yep. They couldn't really believe it.
Really?
Yeah. I was like – I went in and got like all the finance myself. Like I was walking. This is back. I was walking into the bank myself. As a 10-year-old. Oh, like
11 minutes.
10 minutes. 15 minutes. I walking into the bank myself. 19 years old. Yep. The bank manager's like, "What is this kid doing?"
Yeah.
You know.
It's mad. It's so good.
And then I came in with I think it was 60K or 65K. Yep. Okay. I'd saved up.
You'd save that much. Mm. Wow.
And the bank manager, she couldn't believe it. She's like, "You're probably the youngest who've given a loan to at this branch."
That's awesome, man. How good. I love that. Man, talk me through what then got into your mind. How long is it between this first deal? You're 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long is this until your next one?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so 21, you buy your next one. Mm-hmm. What's going through your mind after you bought this one? Did you have to do any work to it or is it pretty much ready to go?
When I bought it, after it settled, I just painted it. I did an internal paint.
Just painted it. Yep, yeah, sweet. Yeah. Okay, that's it?
That's it.
Did you change hot water system like old mate said?
Nah, mate, left it still there. No, no.
How good. All right, beautiful. Okay, sweet. So then what's kind of gotten into your mind from here? You're 19, you bought your first one, you've paid $421. You obviously feel like a bit of a king.
Mm. Yeah, for a bit.
It feels good, when you're young and you're pulling the trigger and you're buying stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. I was on a high for a few months, after the first one. And like funny story, I was actually getting a bit off property.
Really?
Yeah. Like I was like, it was a little bit negative.
Okay.
So it was money out of my pocket every week. Yep. When I did the numbers, like I'm still not making much money.
Yeah.
And I'm like paying for this thing and it's just sitting there. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I paying down this thing? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Isn't it supposed to be making me money? Isn't it? Don't people get rich off property?
Yeah, 100%. I still didn't know much about property. Yeah. I'm just, so in my head, I'm sitting there and it's costing me money every week. And like, well, I'm working. So this renter can live in my property.
Yeah, you know, yeah, 100%.
So this is like a bit of a defining moment.
Okay, here we go. Defining moment. Big words from the bricky.
Yeah, that's it. But I think 6 to 12 months later.
Yeah,
this was the tram stop got built.
Yeah.
I went back to the bank. I was talking with the bank and she did a desktop valuation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it come back at 471 or something. Ooh, like 50K higher.
50 grand. Yeah.
And I'm like 20 years old at this point. I'm like 50 grand. Yeah. 50 grand higher.
Yeah.
Like in a year.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking believe it.
Yeah.
Because at the time I'm only making like, I don't know what, 40K or 35K or something a year.
Yeah.
I've done nothing at all. And this thing's gone up 50 grand.
Yeah. Haven't even changed the whole water system and it's gone up 50 grand.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, but that just... it literally blew my mind.
Light bulb moment for you,
full
right?
blown light yeah, bulb yeah. moment. And after that moment, I was never going to buy property again, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about it. And then when I seen that, I just become absolutely obsessed. Mm. I'm like, this is it. This is what.
Here we go.
Yeah. I just started thinking like, I've just made, if it just went up 50K in that 1 year, what about two of them, three 100%. Of them, 10 of them, 20 of them?
Like, that's always look at it. Like, imagine if you had 10 of them and you did 50, 100 grand growth in a year, if you took a 500, a million bucks.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why, man, building the foundations early is so key, especially like in someone like your position, man, you do it. It's like double, it literally doubled your income in 1 year just from growth. That's mad.
So yeah, I just become obsessed after that point. I was, bought all these property investment books. I was watching YouTube videos. I was learning every single thing I possibly could about property.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which then led me at learning about like taking out equity, the rental yields, you know, why to buy this, why to buy that, like location, everything. Mm. And I just become fully obsessed. And I just knew then this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go so hard on this thing and just learn it. Yeah. Self learn like everything I possibly could.
Yeah. Beautiful. So, you're 19 when you buy the second one. You've had a light bulb moment at 20, a year, roughly a year on. Mm. And then, so what's then, you know, you're saying 2 years later, what stopped you buying sooner? If the 50 grand was there 12 months later, what stopped you buying another deal sooner?
I couldn't pull that much out because I only used a 10% deposit on the first one.
Yep. So you can only get like 40, not even the 45 grand out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think my serviceability, like they wouldn't let me have an equity release. So I was just on such a low income still.
Yep.
So I knew like for the second one, I'm gonna have to go hard again. I'm gonna have to really save up for this next one. Same thing as the first 2 years. The next 2 years, I had a couple pay rises.
Yep.
So I was I think I was
because you're obviously going up years as an apprentice, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just before, I think I was just going third year apprentice. Going before I bought the second one.
Yeah.
My boss at the time, like, probably 6 months before that, he told all us boys, there was a couple of apprentices, and he's like, he's like, boys, I'll pay you what you're worth.
So yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, all right, game on then.
Yeah.
So after that, I learned everything I could in the trade.
Yep.
Like following the older tradie boys, I learned everything they did. I'd just copy.
Yep.
Learned what they could do. And then once I knew what they could do, my goal was just to be quicker than them.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
I was doing jobs in like half the time they were doing it for probably like 6 months.
Full tradesman. Yeah,
like,
right.
But like, I was flogging my guts out. Yeah, like, yeah. It was not easy at all. Mm. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Well, I was going hard like that for 6 months, and I remember one day I never asked the boss for a pay rise. I was shitting myself a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was doing that for like 6 months, and then I remember one day I did a job half the time that a tradie would have done it.
Yep.
And it was an absolute pain in the ass. Like, yeah. Pretty sure like I jammed my finger and like just like, yeah, it was a tough day.
It was a shit day that inspired you too.
Yeah, shit day. And I was like, you know, I just got so angry. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to call on the boss. So I call him up. I'm like, I called him up and I was like, man, like last few months I know everything that the tradies are doing. Like I can do what they do, and I've been doing it quicker than them.
Yep.
I was so nervous to like asking him this, and I was just blabbering on 5 minutes about like what I've been doing. But he never said a word for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the conversation, he's like, I'll pay you what I'm paying them. I thought you were going to ask me weeks ago, and then just hung the phone up.
Really?
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. And so then your regret would have gone like, oh, a little bit elation, right? But then also regret. I should have done it earlier.
yeah. But man, like that moment, I was so pumped.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that was a huge pay rise.
Yeah. Right.
And that just gave me so much motivation.
When you say huge, do you remember what it was? Like even like what did you go to on the trade, the full trade rate?
It was up to like $30 an hour.
Okay.
It was something around, around 30. I think it was like 60K a year.
Yeah, right.
But like I was a third year apprentice. Yeah. But like back then that was pretty big.
Yeah, 100%, man. It was good money.
So as soon as I got that pay rise, I had a good chunk of savings saved up, and I went into the bank again, and I showed the bank lady like, look at my payslips now.
Here we go.
She's like, oh, and then she gave me I didn't get pre-approved or anything, but she said like, you should max like you should be able to buy something around 500,
okay,
a little bit over.
Yeah.
Then I knew what I was chasing. Yeah. And went out for the second.
And so you went out thinking, I'll just go out and buy something at my max buy price. Is that what you did?
I did have that in my mind. But at that time, a lot of like entry level on the Gold Coast around then was around that 500.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
So that price point, yeah, that 420, but that 420 price point, you couldn't really buy that anymore.
No, that was more up here around the fives.
Okay. Yeah, sweet, man. Okay, well, man, talk us through the second deal. Like, how did you find it? Same area, same suburb. Where are we looking as well?
This one is a neighbouring suburb from the first one.
Yep.
It's actually the suburb that I grew up in and lived in.
Okay.
So I knew the area really, really well.
Yep.
And I knew...
Well, you run the streets, right?
Yeah, 100%. I'm in the hood, mate. But, so I knew the area pretty well. This one, I went to a lot of open homes before finding this one.
Okay. Was the market a bit hotter?
The market at this time was hot. Like, every property I went to, there was heaps of...
What are we talking, 2019?
2019, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 2019. Like, every open home I went to was packed, shoulder to shoulder.
Yep.
There's people everywhere. It's
really?
So different to the first time I was doing it. So, yeah, I think I went to like 3 or 4 open homes on the second one. Didn't really like any of them. Got bad vibes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm this young kid walking through open
homes. Feng shui is no good. Feng shui is no good, he says. Yeah, go on.
But then I think it was the last one I went to on the Saturday.
You should have taken a little board. You know how they put up the boards with the rating? It's like feng shui rating, like a 2 combo. This is terrible. Get your feng shui rating up.
Yeah, 100%, mate. 100%. 100%. But,
yeah, go on.
On the last one I went to on the Saturday, it's in a really well-known street in the area.
Okay.
So
for a good reason or a bad reason?
Good reason.
Okay, okay.
Good reason.
Okay.
Everyone loved that street.
All right.
Everyone talks about it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Everyone.
So, yeah, I went to that open home and it was the most packed open home the whole day.
Really?
There was honestly probably like 50 groups and there was shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
It was the craziest open home I've ever seen. The house, it was an...
Is this a story where you walked in and go, is this the house that someone got murdered in last year? Did you do that as a negotiation tactic? It was a different property.
No, that was a different property. That's a good one, but
it's actually
that would work every time. It's like scare everyone off. Everyone runs out the door.
Oi! Feng shui one. Yeah, sorry, mate. I cut you off.
So I went in there and I was probably the youngest, like 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Like everyone's looking at me up and down like I'm some fucking idiot. what's this kid doing in here?
Yeah.
Where's his mum?
Yeah. It's funny that, when you're at that age and you're even going for finance or speaking to real estate agents, like it's very hard for people to take you seriously.
None of them took me seriously.
Yeah,
it's
a funny thing, man. Like, I had it a lot. I actually used to play it. I used to play the card of like, this is my first home. Like, almost like they're trying to help me, like trying to get them to look at me like a father figure or something, like to make them want to look after me on this stuff. But it's funny, man. It's hard to get people to look after you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's funny. So that's
or take you seriously.
Yeah, that's exactly how I bought the second one.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dad was selling it.
What?
All right, so talk me through the story.
So I was talking to the agent. I was so enthusiastic. Like, I loved the property.
Yep.
I wasn't even expecting to buy it because there's so many people there, but I was just telling the agent, like, he's like, oh, if you bought it, like, what would you do? And I was so keen, like, I'm gonna renovate, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna knock this wall out, I'm gonna put the kitchen here, I'm gonna change the bathroom.
Go.
Like, I was just this rapid fire, like, just really enthusiastic.
Did you put music over?
Yeah. And so I was talking to him about that. I was telling me how keen I was on it. And he was like, oh, how much do you have to spend? And, like, I just told him straight away, like, oh, a bit of 500. It was on market for offers over 550.
I said
to him, like, oh, my max probably like in low fives, maybe like 515, 510 or something like that.
Okay.
He's like, mate, don't be like, put an offer in. And you never know. Like, I'm like, yeah, all right. So I wrote down an offer that day.
Yeah.
I was the first one out of the whole, like, everyone there. I was like, fuck
it,
whatever.
Walked in, staunched it, told everyone what you're going to do. There's a dead body under the house, wrote your offer, and then stormed out.
Yeah, literally.
I can see you doing it as well.
Shirt off as well.
Here we go. Yeah.
But so I walked in there, put the offer down and left.
Okay.
And after I left that property, I did not ever think about it again. I did not think. I wasn't expecting to get it at all. There's just so many people there.
Yep.
There was offers over 550.
Yep.
I put an offer down for 515.
Okay.
So then Monday morning comes.
Right.
I get the call from the agent. He's like, mate, you got it. I'm like, who's this? Got what? What do you mean? I went to so many properties that day. I didn't even know who this guy was. He's like, told me the street address. I was like, your offer has got accepted. And I was like, fuck, really? Like, you're kidding.
Yeah.
He's like, no, 100%. He's like, we had like 6 or 7 offers that day.
Yeah.
Yours is one of the lowest, but it got accepted.
Why? Why did he get accepted, Jakey?
Because he went back to the owners of the property. They're like, oh, it was only like in their 80s, like 85 or something.
Yeah, Jimmy's age.
Yeah, Jimmy's age. Jimmy might know him.
Jimmy's actually a little bit older.
Yeah. But so And they move, I don't know why, but they moved to WA for some reason. They lived in that house for a long time. They bought the house for like 40 grand back in the day.
Yeah.
And the agent told him like about all the offers, and they told him about me, like, oh, this young fella just came in and he's so keen. He wants to rip the whole place apart, and renovate it and fix it up. And yeah, the agent just sold him that story. And the oldies were like, we'll just give it to the young fella.
Really?
Yeah,
no way. 100%. Man, I would have loved, did you know what the top offers were? Did he tell you?
The top offer was 555.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Mm. So, yeah, sweet. So then you got it.
Crazy. Yeah, man, so I got it.
And how good? What did you do to it? Did you do all the things that you said you were going
to
do?
No, I did nothing to it.
Oh, what a dog.
No, I'm kidding. I did renovate it. Over the years, I did what I said I was going to do. Yep. But at the start, I just, painted it. I ripped the wall out.
You did what you needed to kind of get it rented.
Yeah, to get it rented.
So you didn't live in that one either?
Didn't live in that one.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. Yeah, sweet. How did you feel after buying that one? After getting that one, except in the best street in this. So this is the suburb where your parents live.
Mm.
So what do they think about you buying a house in this best street of this suburb?
They were pretty pumped, pretty proud. They couldn't believe it.
Mm.
Honestly, no one could believe it.
That's
when I went back to the bank chick, I said to her, "Oh, I got this property at this price."
Yeah.
She was like, she said the street, and she's like, "How'd you buy a property in that street? Like, I've been trying to buy something in there for years."
Really?
Yeah.
She was one of the offers. She was the 555.
Yeah. So that was crazy. Like, I was so pumped. Like, I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, sweet.
Insane.
I remember, man, I think it was around this time, might have been a little bit after this, and I probably would have been, man, it was either 2019 or 2020 when we first started talking. So I remember you reached out to me, you heard me on a potty or something, and you were asking me, and I think we just had a chat because you're like, "Oh, mate, I'm inspired by your journey. I'd love you to have a look at my portfolio, my properties, and see what you do." But I remember when we first chatted, probably the first one, like 12 to 18 months, I remember you being like, "I'm not doing that strategy. I'm not buying in blue collar areas. I'm going to buy in like these mad areas." And then I remember having the chat with you, and then you'd hit me up every 6 months, and I go, "Yeah, man, you're still buying in the wrong areas, in my opinion, for what you're making and to keep, because you're telling me I want to build this thing big. How do I do it?" And I remember we had a couple of chats around that, but that obviously comes a little bit later anyway.
Oh, so that comes next, right?
Like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to leave us on property number two? What's it worth now?
$950.
Woo!
Like that was a big stonker, that one.
Yeah, that's mad.
That's one of my favorite ones. Like,
how much is that renting for?
At the moment, 820.
Okay.
820.
That's bloody good yield on initial purchase. How much reckon you would have spent on renos over the years as well?
I did all the renos on that myself.
Yep.
I'd say around 25.
Okay.
Did everything myself.
So it's cost you 540 all up. She's worth, what'd you say, 950?
950.
So you're up over 400 grand on it.
Yeah.
And renting for 820 a week, you said.
820,
man, that's good. That's really, really good. Like 8% plus yield. So, mate, that's awesome. How good?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to cover off on that one before we move on?
No, I think that's it.
Do you reckon you'll never sell that one?
Mate.
Unless the market goes crazy, you could bank, like, sell it for a primary residence swap or something.
They say don't get attached to the properties, but I don't know. I love that one.
You love that one?
Yeah. It'll be hard to fucking sell.
Yeah, hard to sell that one. Yeah. It's funny, man. Most people would have like the first deal. For me, it was really hard to sell my first deal, but I had to do it to keep moving forward. But it's funny, man. I can imagine that one. There'd be a bit about it, especially because what it's done for you, a good area, good street in your suburb you grew up as well.
Because I renovated all myself as well.
Yeah.
So there's attachment to that one.
I get you. So moving on. You're telling me that the next deal is our deal.
Yep.
And we're jumping into it.
Number three.
Okay. All right. So you bought your first deal at 21. Sorry, 19. Mm-hmm. First deal at 19. Last deal at 21.
Yep.
How old are you now when you're coming to APS for the first deal?
I was 23 when I bought the third one with you.
Yep.
We were talking for ages before that third one.
I remember.
How I found you, because after this sec, I wanted to keep going hard, right? Yeah. I wanted to keep building the portfolio, keep buying more produce, keep accumulating.
Yeah.
But after the second one, I went back to the bank like 6 months later. Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, how much deposit do I need for the third one?" Like trying to strategize like the next one. She's like, "Third one? Mate, like..."
You're cut off.
Yeah, you're cut off, mate. There's no way you can get another loan. Because the debt level was massive.
Yeah.
I was like 22 at this point.
Yep.
The portfolio value then was probably sitting nearly on a mil.
Okay.
Like a lot of that was debt.
Yeah.
And I was still on like 60 grand a year.
Yeah, okay.
And there's no way I was getting... Yeah, what, like you said, cut off. Like, there's no way. Yeah.
You're cut off, mate.
Yeah,
it's like a big night at Surfers, mate. You've had enough, buddy. Yeah, you've had enough.
Time to go home in the morning.
Time to jog home,
Sucky's
mate.
He's ringing you, throwing you out the door.
That's what this chick did, apparently.
Yep.
So Yeah, man. Okay, so where to from here? What are the next steps? And so you're still on the 60 grand at the moment?
Still on it. Yeah, still on, maybe a bit higher.
A little bit more?
Like 65 or something.
Okay, you've had another blow up at the boss and you've got a little bit more at this point.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Sweet. So talk me through your next deal. How did you come into the time where you finally realized that you wanted to work with us?
Well, I was stuck and it just broke me. I was like, fuck. All my plans are down the drain. Like, what do I do here?
And broke you.
Yeah. I need to figure out how, like, because I knew people had like 10, 20, 30 properties. Like, so how do these guys do it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm on two and I can never get a loan again. How's it possible?
Yeah.
So I just,
is this the mainstream lender? The first two?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mainstream.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Westpac, okay. Mainstream. So I actually started listening to potties.
All right.
Going to work, I was working like an hour away every day. So it was an hour to work, an hour back.
Mm.
So I'd just have a potty on 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I was listening to podcasts for a few months. And then one morning I was finding one to listen to before I was driving up to work. I seen the heading. And I think it was 20 properties by 30 or something like that. And I was like, fuck, who's this guy? I put that on. It's you like saying how you started and your story and whatnot. I was like, fuck, this is the guy I need to talk to. Because you've done exactly what I was wanting to do.
Yep.
It was the first time I ever heard someone like do what you've done.
Mm.
So I just became obsessed. I was like, I got to find this guy's number. I got to talk to him somehow. I can't remember how, but I found your number. And I think I was just texting you and trying to call you. And
yeah, I can't remember if you'd reached out or something and then I called you back or whatever. I can't remember what it was. But I remember, man, distinctly having a couple of chats with you and texting and all the rest of sort of stuff before. Like, this is probably well before. It was like a year leading at least.
Yeah,
it was a long burn, man. It was a long burn.
Yeah, it was like a year. Maybe even longer, to be honest. It's been a year and a half, but... I reached out to you and I just told you my story. Like, I'm stuck. Like, how did you do it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, the one thing I remember you saying was, you're like, oh, the portfolio looks strong and whatnot, but you have to make the same dollar value on those properties you've bought, but at a lower purchase price to keep going.
Same dollar rental value, right?
Yeah.
Is what I mean? Yeah.
So pretty much, so you sort of like drop the purchase price. So you can't keep buying 500K houses.
Yeah.
Because
what were they renting for?
At that time, not much.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
Yeah.
It was low. Honestly, I think the first one was getting like probably around 450.
Yeah.
Then the second one was probably around low fives, maybe 550.
Okay. So you're talking kind of around 5% yields, 5.5% yields what you got.
Yeah.
But a lot of debt at your income as well to hold those.
Yeah.
The rental income wasn't high.
Mm.
Okay, so that's some pretty good advice.
Yeah,
drop the purchase price, get the same rents.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, sweet.
No, you pretty much just said like you need cash flow.
Yeah.
And you explained to me like your strategy and what we should do and whatnot. Yep. And I think at the time I also remember I was asking you about renovating and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I fully renovated both of them.
Yep.
Before starting at APS.
Yeah, right.
So I went through the renovations on those two. Then ended up talking, I was 23.
Okay.
And I reached out to you. I was ready to pull the trigger. and you were telling me where the locations were and whatnot.
Yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, fuck, I'm not buying there. Like,
yeah.
No way, this is shit.
I remember you were like, man, I'm not buying there. Like, nah. And I'm like, mate.
Oh, fucking glad I did that. Okay,
let's jump into this deal because this deal is wild, guys. If it gives a bit of an insight around the results that we've delivered on before. And obviously you got to remember, this is Jakey's first deal with us. He isn't like working with us or anything at this point in time. He's a 23 year old, I think it was, client at the time, coming through for this next deal. Yeah. Mate, talk us through the numbers on this next deal.
So the numbers on this one, we paid 305.
Mm.
It was a granny site as well. So it was 305. What was it? I can't remember exactly what it was worth at the time.
I think we were saying 340, 350. It was good because the market was just starting to move. And we had it off market with an agent I do a lot of stuff with.
Yeah. Mm. The timing in that market was perfect as well.
And you had the ability to build in a couple of rooms there and maybe add a bit of value and rental boost as well.
Yeah. So that one, 305, we're at 340, 350.
Yep.
There was a shed on the back, a big double bay shed.
I love this story. I love this story.
Here we go. So I was like, well, we're planning on building a granny on the back. And I remember asking, like, what should I do with this shed? I was just going to bin it. And Sammy's like, mate, just sell it. Like, just sell it and then renovate the house with the money. So I sold it on Facebook Marketplace, the shed, for $5,000. Renovated the whole inside of the house myself and a few mates as well for $5,000. And like we got a reno out of like a free renovation.
Oh, that's mad. How good. So it literally only cost you the $305, like the deal, because you sold it for that and you renovated for that.
Yeah, literally.
That's mad.
Yeah, how good. That was good.
Yeah.
Then we went that one because, like you said, I needed cash flow. Like, yep. It was pretty negative at that point. So we went straight into building a granny flat on the back.
Yep.
Once the shed was gone and the house was renovated. This one, I saved up for this third one as well. So it was savings on the 305 purchase. But the granny flat, I managed to actually pull out from renovating the first two. I pulled all the equity out of those two and used that as cash for the for the granny flat.
Did you build the granny in cash?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Really?
Equity release.
Yeah. But it's like you're building it with that release. Yeah. That's mad. Okay, sweet.
So the cash flow on that was insane.
Yeah, that would have been crazy.
I reckon if I didn't get that deal, I wouldn't have been able to keep going. That was the perfect one for at the time.
Yeah. Talk to me, man, about, so what did you build that granny for as well?
155.
Okay, 155. Yeah. Okay, so we built for 155. Purchased at 305. Mm. So we're in at 460, right?
Yep.
What's the front house rent for now?
Front house is rent for 500.
Okay. And the granny?
The granny 430.
So. Okay. So at $930 a week rent on a $460,000 investment.
Yep.
Over 10% yield. Yeah, that's 10.3% yield.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's propping the portfolio cash flow. I'd be screwed, honestly, without that one.
What I love as well is, man, the granny's brand new as well, like when you built it. So you got full depreciation on it. So man, these massive cash flows you got on it, but then you're also able to write it off too. But I love that because obviously we bought in at a really critically low point in the cycle just before it took off. It was just starting its run.
Yeah.
Bought in a really good price. Force some value through a renovation, build a granny for good money at the back as well. Mm. And at the time, man, the yield wouldn't have been that strong. The yield might have been 8% when we did it.
Like that, yeah.
Because we've had the rental growth now as well, and this is what I always stress to people too. Mm. It's a lot of time people look at, you know, a deal, we might be doing a deal and the yield's in the sevens on a cash flow deal now. But you always got to like have a good look at if you're in the correct area and it's growing and you're getting rental growth as well, like that market is a proven performer for rental growth, then you got to like factor that into the equation. Exactly in that scenario, you bought that deal, you know, 2-3 years ago, executed it on probably an 8% yield, and now it's at almost probably it's a 10.5% yield. And what would it be worth?
Oh, it's sitting around 750 now. Yeah,
like, I was going to say 750, 800 for sure. And that market's starting like a serious run again now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There's huge numbers on that one.
Yeah.
Like you said, the rental growth, I think it was renting for like high sevens at the start.
Yeah.
Now 930, like, yeah, insane. It's an extra $15,000 a year or something. Yeah,
that's massive, man. It's massive. Yeah. So after this deal, did you go back and buy another low yielding one in the Goldie?
Oh, here we go. This is
bull shark coming out for a bite. Mate, tell me after, obviously this is, okay. So your story obviously is around the 11 rental properties, right? So now we're 4 rental properties in.
Yeah.
All jokes aside, man, obviously you've done really well. You've been able to, you've renovated the first, the second one, sorry, you've done a little bit of cosmetic reno. Fully renovate the first one at this time as well, at this point?
Fully renovated, yeah.
So the first one
and
as well.
Two, fully renovated, yeah.
Okay, beautiful. All right, sweet, man. So that's good. So fully renovated, and then you've done a reno plus granny. The portfolio is pumping. It's doing exceptionally well at that point. Where to from here? What are the next steps? What have you done?
So what I've done here, at the time, honestly, I was doing pretty well in the portfolio.
Yep.
I think I was sitting at 24
yep.
and I had a million equity sitting there. Like cash flows were good.
Here we go.
I started working at APS as well.
There we go. Oh, yeah, it was too. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, mate, I was pretty confident in myself, my property investing ability. So,
I've called you out here, haven't I? Because I forgot that actually is what you did next.
Yeah.
So, sorry, like, mate.
Man, I was feeling good. Like everything, my whole property journey this far was just going perfect.
Yeah.
So I kind of chased the shiny thing on this next one and I shouldn't have done it. Like it was the time when interest rates were at all time lows. I seen a few like opportunities in the area that I lived to do a renovate and flip deal. So I thought I'm going to give it a crack. This is a good opportunity. I could make maybe a couple hundred grand real quick.
Do you remember you called me about it as well? We had the chat and I was like, how much do you think you can make out of it? And you were telling me, I think you were saying like 150, be like, oh, but with the growth, because the market's pumping.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you can't bank on the growth. You got to do it on today's values at least. And sorry, man, I'll let you finish your story. I was trying to warn you off it.
But It was just the worst possible timing. Like,
yep.
I bought it when interest rates were the all-time lows.
Yep.
And everyone knew interest rates were going to go up, but no one knew when.
And how fast.
Yeah. And at this point, I never went through an interest rate hike. I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah. Since you started investing, they've only been on downward trajectory for sure.
Yeah. So this is pretty shocking for me. So I bought the property and literally I think a week or 2 weeks after I settled, all the interest rate hikes just started coming in and I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. Like 2 weeks after I settled.
Man, I thought it was actually once you were unconditional and waiting to settle. I thought that was when they did their first raise.
Oh, there might have been one raise.
Okay.
I think. And then after settlement, it just went crazy.
Yeah. It started going on that ridiculous hike. And then as you started on the reno started blowing up more and more as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I remember every month went by, it's like another interest rate hike. Like, oh,
okay. And then they're doing the half percenters and it was getting hectic.
Yeah.
So talk to me about this deal. What played out? What happened?
So purchase price on it, $760 plus 20K stamp. So I'm $780 in.
Biggest deal so far by a little bit.
Yeah.
By $250,000.
I thought the rental was going to cost about $50,000.
Yep.
Ended up blowing out to about $70,000.
Okay.
So at this point, I'm all in about $850,000.
Yep.
It took probably 4 or 5 months to renovate the whole thing. I did everything to it. You could imagine.
I remember.
She
was schmick. When she was done, she was pretty schmick.
Yeah. It was nice when it was done. Like, rendered the outside, painted the roof, did all the back, whole new bathroom, new kitchen, floors, paint, like everything.
Yeah.
Literally did the whole house. It was fully a whole different house once it was done.
Yeah.
So I did all that myself with mates and, you know, whatnot over the next 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
And when it was time to sell, interest rates were at their absolute peak.
Absolute peak.
I remember we put it on the market for like $950,000.
Yep.
This cricket. Like people were going through. There's heaps of people going through.
Really? But no offers.
Not one offer.
No offers.
Every open home, the agent was telling me there was just like 20 groups for every open home every weekend and not one person put an offer in. I'm like, fuck.
Mm.
So we decided to drop the price.
Why wasn't it selling? Why were there so many people going through? Was the feedback? Why was there so many people going through but they're not selling? No offers.
There wasn't a carport. And honestly, looking back on it, it's pretty dumb, but I didn't think that would have such a huge effect, you know. The house was so nice on the inside. But yeah, that was a lot of the feedback and I think just tire kickers.
Like
people in the street. Like,
ah, right. You know? Yeah. In that street going for a walk, for a wander, go look at the open.
Yeah. So we decided to drop the price to, I think, offers over 900.
Yeah.
So people still come in, but there's still no offers.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to sweat a bit.
Yeah. How are you going with cash flows at the moment as well? Because like interest rates have gone on a massive run.
Mate, cash flows were down. Because
that's not renting either.
This thing's vacant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the biggest
loan.
Me.
It's absolutely the biggest loan you got.
Yeah. So that was pretty
lucky you were on $8 an hour with APS. Yeah, now keeping head above water.
100%.
Yeah.
But so we kept, I think another couple of weeks went by. We dropped the price again.
Yeah.
This time to like $875.
Yep.
Still no offers.
Yeah.
Now I'm really fucking, this is pretty cooked now.
How long in are you at this point?
Probably like 2 months into the campaign.
There's
a month left.
And old mate didn't tell you to throw a carport out the front or something, like change it up if that's what's going to be the big deciding factor?
Yeah, he said you could. Like I was looking at carport quotes and come back like $20,000.
Yeah, right.
Like, I didn't even have any more money to spend on this
really?
Thing.
Really?
Eh? Yeah, okay. I went all in on it.
Yeah.
So I was starting to sweat a bit and I was getting pretty antsy. I'm like, fuck, let's just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Like, move on. I was doing the numbers of how big the loss was and it was so hard to come to terms with like losing that much money.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I knew if I just rented it out and held it, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Like if the market wasn't, if the market wasn't in that, you know, those current conditions, I would have been fine.
Yeah, I get you.
But I would not be able to get any more loans. I would have been stuck on that fourth property.
I remember you calling me.
Yeah. And like working at APS now, I'm seeing all these good deals going through and what people are doing and I'm buying for clients and they're killing it. I'm sitting here like, fuck, I'm getting this FOMO. we ended up dropping the price down, I think, to, this was like a week out of, because you know, you sign with an agent, it's like three months.
Yeah.
Kind of anything. It was like a week out from being the 3 months. We dropped it to, I think it was, 820. We dropped it to $820 and we got two offers at $820.
Okay. At $820 on the dot? Yeah, right. Okay.
$820 on the dot.
Yeah.
I was sitting on those offers for probably a week and a half. I didn't They were there. Yeah. Like, man, it was so hard to. Yeah. I did all the numbers. It was like working out to be 50K loss. And yeah, at that point, like just the getting through, I've never lost anything before, you know? Like just copping a 50K loss. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. It was really, really hard, to be honest.
What was the tipping point that made you go, I need to take one of these offers rather than just renting it?
Because I realized I was thinking like what will hurt me more, like taking this 50K loss or renting it and being stuck. Mm. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to be stuck.
Yep.
Stuff it.
Yeah.
Like so I was after that like week and a half, I was like, I just bit the bullet. It was driving me insane, like not committing to something, like just jumping back. Like every few days, I was like,
I remember you were caught because you called me a couple of times in that week. Yeah. Oh, mate, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And that's what I kept saying. Like, what are the goals, man? Like, what do you want to do? I want to keep going. I was like, well, there's your answer. Yeah. Like, but then I'll lose 50 grand. I was like, yeah, but what's your primary goal?
Yeah. Well, over that like next week and a half, one day I'd be like, I'm selling it today. Next day I wake up, I'm like, oh, I'm going to rent it. I just kept jumping back and forth, It was going fucking insane.
It was crazy.
Then I just, after that time, I was just like, stuff it. I'm selling it. Fuck it. So I rang the agent. I was like, I'll take the 820. Let's just get it done.
Yeah.
Quick settlement. Sell as quick as you can. I want it done. Yeah, I don't care anymore. I took that loss, 50K, and kept going forward.
Man, you know what the funniest thing is? Like, obviously this isn't a funny thing, right? But in looking at this thing, and obviously it's not a funny result, but it is a funny thing when you look at this thing in hindsight.
Mm.
Out of everything you've done as an investor, up to this point, even up to where you are right now, because obviously, your story from an investing perspective, what you would have learned through that journey and through that deal and the lessons you would have taken out of that thing would have taken you from a level, I don't know, let's say level 5 investor to a level 15 investor.
100%.
Because you learned so 100%. Much about that journey through the whole way through and you went in with your blinkers on, your blinders on, going, nah, the market's going to keep doing this, it's going to do this. And we had that chat about, well, what is the market direction heading? Where are we actually at? How much are you you're going to make out of this thing? Yeah, obviously nothing's a guaranteed thing, but I remember, man, you were absolutely hung up that it was definitely going to do all the things from the renovation side of things, the holding costs, the sales costs, like what's the exit strategy, all the rest, even not researching what were the things that were going to kill a sale, like not having a carport. These things make a decision when it comes to a flip because to get the highest and best dollar from a flip, you need to understand exactly what that end target market needs and deliver exactly on that product.
Yeah, 100%.
Which you didn't do in this scenario. Mm. But it's funny, man, because the losses and the mistakes and these things that you fuck up along the journey, and if you haven't fucked up along the journey, you haven't gone hard enough or you haven't done enough.
I haven't gone far enough.
Exactly, man. Something is always going to happen without a doubt, and there's always ways to make amends and fix things and turn a shit situation into a good situation. And realistically, you look at that and you go, well, how do I turn this shit situation into a good situation? It's selling it, copping the loss. That's a shit situation. But then getting your borrowing capacity back and getting your capital back out of that deal, that was then the supercharger for your portfolio to now where you've got it now. So, 100%. Man, like I think, and the reason I love this potty and doing these investor apps is because we go through and people should be able to learn from other people's journeys. And you've probably gotten into a point, people out there that have heard of this stuff like this before, or they've done stuff like this before, or they're thinking about doing it and they got the blinkers on going, nah, I can make it because it's a flip.
Yeah.
Jakey's an experienced investor at this point as well. He's working for a buyer's agency, and doing this stuff day in and day out, and he still fucked it up.
Yeah.
And that's why these lessons are so, so important to hear these stories. But mate, the loss is one thing. The comeback is so much better.
Yeah. Oh, that losing that money just lit a fire even bigger than before. Yeah. I was like, I'm never fucking doing this again. Like, I'm making this work no matter what.
Yeah.
I do not care. Like,
I want you to punch through these next deals. How do we do them? Mm-hmm. Who is the BA in the business that sourced them for you?
Yeah.
All this. So I bought the first one for you.
Yep.
Obviously the house and granny in Brizzy.
Yep.
I've gone and done that. You're at the 4 properties at that point. You've had a bit of a stumble on and a bit of a, we've got a bit of a time lapse thing here where you've had a bit of a stumble.
Yep.
You've watched Perth doing its run and I remember, mate, you were like, oh, I should have bought in Perth. You told me to buy in Perth. Like, I'll be up so much. Man, talk to me about like the next run. Because when was it that you sold that property? When was settlement date? Do you remember? The renovator.
It settled, second week of 2023.
Okay. So like, a little over a year ago, like 13, 14 months, something
like
that.
Yeah. Okay. Start of 2023. Yeah.
Okay. So we're a little over 12 months from then.
Mm-hmm.
What's the run? What have you done since then?
So in the next 6 months later, I got another deal.
Okay.
From Big Morgs.
Big Morgs. Big Morg Homes. Big shout out. Yeah, that was a belter.
Oh, man, that was an absolute belter. Like, I made all my money back times three just on that property.
So far, since ownership. Yeah,
since ownership. Yeah.
So it's a nice big chunk. Hey, talk us through it. Let's go, man. Let's hit this thing out.
So this one, WA, purchase price 405. Yep. Current market value sitting at 550.
Yep.
Renting for 500 at the moment, but it's pretty low. There's a long-term good tenant in there.
Like, but that should be 550 a week.
Yeah, it should be 550.
Yep.
That one, big four bed, two bath, brick low set, like 5 minutes from the beach. Mm. Like, it's not, mate, I love that property. Yeah. And the thing I love about that property is I haven't heard one thing about that property. I don't know what's going on with it. I've not heard one thing since buying it. So perfect set and forget.
Because I remember, man, you were, Morgs and I were having a chat because you were so devo of this, a loss. And I go, what he's lost on this deal, I want to make him back on this next one. So he's just like praying, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
man, 100%. Oh, man, that one, I was so pumped on that one. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
I remember him telling Morgs like a few months prior, I was like, I'd love to have one just close to the beach. Yeah. And what do you know? A few months later, boom.
Lo and behold, the deal is done. Mm. So, man, you've gone from a 52 grand loss on this deal that you've renovated, took you out of the market for a year to then fast forward a year past that, or a little over a year past that. And the first deal out of the rank, you're up 150 grand anyway. So you're 3X'd your loss. You've 3X'd that as a gain on the next deal. One little, you know, important note that I think is worth bringing up on that, guys, is so many people think developing, renovating, all the rest of the bullshit is the ands, pans, it's how you make the money.
Yeah.
I will bang home one more time about the fact of timing a market cycle correctly and buying the right property in the right location will always outperform that style of asset. You also look at the amount of money Jakey lost on a deal that was worth 800,000 plus compared to a deal that tripled in a gain, his loss, say 50 grand loss on 800 grand plus property, he's bought one at 400 and made three times that in growth. So, you know, just to hammer that home one more time, guys, obviously right property, right location, right price will always do better and a heavier lifting than something like that. So, man, that's mad. Anything else you want to throw in on that deal?
No, that's it.
Pretty happy on that. You wanted beachside. Yeah, you wanted beach location, proximity to beach. You got a nice low set house. You don't even know anything about it. You've made great money. What are you moving to next? What's the next deal? So that's taking us to five rentals.
Five rentals, yep. So the next one, I stumbled across it. I had a pre-approval. This one just came out of nowhere. Okay. Regional Queensland.
Okay.
Purchase price $240.
We are.
So a nice little cheapie. Yep. Renting for $400.
Whoa.
I think that was like 9% yield or something around that at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Market value, it was low threes. So it's a huge discount on it. It was like, around 320. Oh, 310, 320 then. It's probably like 330 now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how I got that one, it was actually my painter. It wasn't through an agent.
Yep.
My painter, mate, he rang me up and he's like, he has a few properties. He was talking to some agent about selling it and she kind of rubbed him the wrong way and he was just offered. He hates dealing with real estate agents.
Yeah.
So he called me up. He knew I was a buyer's agent. He's like, would you have anyone to sell, buy this? I'm like, buy what? He's like, this is one of my properties. I'm like, what's the address? So I'll have a look. He told me the address. I'm like Googling and I'm like looking into it, looking in the area, looking at comparables as well while I'm on the phone to him. About the end, I'm looking at the comparables in that street.
Yeah.
It's like two doors down, so of like 315, like pretty much exact same property. Yeah. There's like 300K
All day of the week.
All day of the week. At the end of the call, I'm like, what do you want for it? What are you chasing? Yeah. I was expecting some crazy number.
Yeah, or at least 300, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And he's like, oh, mate, like, honestly, I just want to go on. I don't want people through it.
Yeah.
I just want to sell it without all the bullshit.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll take 240. And I'm like, really fell out of my chair. Right? I was like, you're kidding. I didn't say that.
I was going
to
say.
But I was like to him, I'll see if we have any like clients for it. Yeah. Like, I should be able to get it. Can I get back to you tomorrow?
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, mate, I'm buying this.
I remember you calling me and you're going, can I buy this deal? And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, mate, that was, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good doing a deal without the agent there too. There's
yeah, 100%.
Nice direct vendor.
That's the thing, man. Like you think about it as well. Like for him to get to bank a 240, all right, he's still way off what the market value was. Mm. But obviously, you know, to sell in to get 240, he's probably selling at 250 with an agency commission as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
ultimately, man, like a lot of people are happy to kind of, I used to do a lot of like direct to vendor sort of buying back in the day as well, man. Mm. So that's sick, man. I love that. How good.
No, he wasn't too fussed. Like he probably knew he was taking a little bit of a loss, but he paid like 40 grand for it.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, there's enough profit for him. He's happy to move on.
Done, dusted. Yeah, move on. Yeah, sweet. Now, tell me, anything special about this block, corner block, block size?
Block size is just under 800 squares. You can probably put a granny flat on the back.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's got granny flat potential.
Okay.
Three better, one bath. It's been updated inside, brand new roof. And yeah, that's
which is an important thing in that location because the roofs are extremely expensive to replace.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Beautiful, man. Sweet. So, at this point, we're now six rentals.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some crazy yields. You've got a 9% on old regional Queensland.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of crackers bopping off doing their thing as well. This is in the last, that's 6 months ago, right? 6-12 months ago. So Goldie deals have also had a massive run and they'd have a huge amount of equity in them as well. And the rents are pretty solid.
Yep.
So the portfolio is starting to tick again, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Starting to feel pretty good.
Starting to feel good again. And yeah, just like I'm just telling myself, keeping discipline, keep the strategy.
Yep.
Don't chase the shiny thing. No more renovate flips.
Mate, I'd slap you if you brought that to me.
Oh, mate, stuff like that. Yeah, so I'm just,
following the tried and tested method, right?
Yep.
Beautiful. Man, talk me through next deal. This is the curly one, right? But we're gonna keep this one clean, yeah?
Yeah, we'll keep it clean if you want.
All right, so talk to me about it.
So this one, 5 units.
Yes.
5-unit block.
Yes.
In regional Queensland, a good agent of mine brought it to me that I work with. I've been working with him for years.
Yep.
He's come to me with this unit block and said this owner she owns a couple of unit blocks apparently, and she wanted to just get rid of this thing. So he's brought it to us. He's given us all the numbers, and this thing from the get go was just a belter. Like on paper, the numbers were crazy.
Mm.
I think. They wanted like 600, around 600 for it, was renting for 1280.
Yeah. Whoa.
So
10% straight off the bat, 10% plus, 10 and a half.
Yeah. So even at 600, like I remember taking it to you and you're like, wow, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it was on a 1400 square meter block as well. All the units are pushed up to the front on a corner block and the back is like there's like 500 square meters of
that
land.
You can
chop off.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I rang up the town planner and I made sure you could do it. Yeah, 100% it can be done. I think it's like 50K cost to do and then you'd probably sell it in the low hundreds, maybe a bit more.
Yeah. Okay, or you could just bank it for down the track and down the track when land values go up. Yeah, that's good. And it's not like you need to sell it yet because the cash flow is so good. So talk me through, we don't need to go into the deep dive of the negotiation process, but talk me through like what you ended up as a sales price that you went to contract on.
Yeah. So we went... It was a pretty hard negotiation. It took a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I ended up getting it down to contract price 520.
Yep.
So we got 80K off the original asking price they were chasing.
Yep.
So at 520, it's numbers are getting even better.
It's banging. You know? Yeah.
Like
The one thing to kind of throw at you, when Jakey brought me this deal as well, because he's like, I don't know what I should do here. Like, do you want it? Should I buy it? Should we give it to a client? Like, I don't really know what we should do here. And the thing I always look at with properties like this is, what's the condition of it like as well from a maintenance side? Because with unit blocks can be amazing, but especially with certain construction materials, they can also be a little bit of a headache and something that we are typically wary of giving to clients to create headaches. Like if it's an experienced client that's done a lot of deals and you make them very aware of it, then it's something we would put onto a client. At the time, we didn't really have anyone on the books for a unit block of that sort of size to do something like that. And we spoke about it and I said, man, I don't need to buy it. You should buy it. You need, you should boost up the cash flows in your own portfolio and look at it. So it was either one of us were going to look at buying it and obviously, you know, push it back across to your side of the table. But I just said, just be wary. Obviously with this style of property, you can have a lot of maintenance.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously at the price it was at the yield it was at, everything stacked up and made complete sense. So then to secure it at 520 on a contract, man, that's a cracking deal.
Yeah.
But obviously we're not done there.
Well, man, we're just getting started. So we end up building and pests came back, finance as well came back. I negotiated on both.
Yep.
And got the price down even further. I think finished on 430.
Yep.
another huge chunk off.
So obviously, without giving too much away from an APS negotiation standpoint, obviously to be able to chop it down to 520 from 600 and then 430 from 520, which is huge, man. Realistically, from the 600 grand asking price, you're almost down to 30%, you know, from what you actually ended up buying and settling this thing down to the 430. You're almost at that 30% discount. But it was obviously important to note that negotiating that hard, there was obviously things there that came up that you were able to negotiate hard on and warranted you being able to go at that sort of level as well.
Heated negotiations, and I think I could go to the next level really, really hard because it was for myself as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. 430 finished on. And that includes a 50 grand cash back at settlement as well.
Yeah, that's mad. So, how good?
Yeah.
That's good. All right, man. So, Final price on that one, 430 grand. What and the rents are 1280.
1280, yeah.
So is that coming? That's almost 15% yield.
15.5%.
There we go. 15.5% yield. And a 50K cash back, which is obviously part of the negotiation down to the 430. Yeah. So it's like a 480 contract with the 50K back. Yeah. We won't tell the banks about that one. We'll keep that one on the down low. No one telling
anyone. No one will hear this podcast, right?
No. I don't think you'll get any listens, bro. I think we'll be good.
All good then.
Mate, anything else you want to throw in us on that deal in particular? Anything to wrap up that big bopper? That thing obviously is a freaking belter, mate. I don't think too many people would be disappointed with a deal like that in their portfolios.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, anything else you want to throw in to round that out?
Well, you did market value on that. By value, it came back at 630.
Yeah, right.
So that's a pretty big discount.
That's a big gain.
It needs a little bit of work, but still that's on paper, the numbers are insane.
That's huge, man. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Mm. That's it. You happy with that on that deal?
Yeah.
Mate, give us a recap of the portfolio. Obviously, man, you've been on quite a journey. Like this year, you're 26 now, right? Mm. You bought your first one at 19. So you're 7 years through acquisition. Now, obviously, we talk about the 11 rental properties, 5 units in that last one with a really cool value add ability of being able to chop off that rear block down the track. Now, you could build a little specy on it and sell it, or you could just sell the block as is or whatever. But it's cool to have that lever to pull down the track.
Yeah,
it's not like something that you need to develop now just to benefit from it, because the market isn't anywhere near its peak. We may as well hold that thing through till it gets to its peak and probably go towards the actual development at the back end of it, even if you're just chopping it and selling it. Because if land price goes from low ones to 200 grand, it might ultimately mean, even if that costs you 50 grand to chop it off, if you bank 150K profit on that, essentially the deal's only cost you, high 200,000, which is crazy.
Well, that's the plan. I'm hoping that happens and I do that. And I'll just renovate the whole thing with that.
The whole thing. Yeah, 100%. No, that's mad, man. I love that. I love it. Sick, man. What a way to wrap up the journey, man. Like you've had highs, you've had lows, you've had so many like learning experiences through this whole thing as well. Man, give us a recap of the portfolio to finish off as well.
The recap. Total, so 11 rental properties.
Yep.
Total market value. I actually just settled on that unit block yesterday.
There we go. Congratulations, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Give us a fist bump.
But so settled on that one yesterday. Sitting on 11 rental properties. 4 million in total portfolio value.
Yep. That's a very round number, mate. 4 million on the dot.
Maybe it's like 4,000,001.
Okay. Okay. 4,010,000.
Just over 4. Yeah. Okay. Just over 4 mil. debt level was sitting around 2.4.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay. So we're sitting at like a 60% LVR.
That's pretty healthy.
Very healthy.
So equity at the moment, 1.6 mil.
Okay.
1.6.
Yep. 1.6 something. If it's 2.4 debt. 1.6001.
Yeah. at the moment, interest rate, my portfolio is negative 7 grand a year.
Okay. You've got interest rates that are in the sevens and eights and stuff, right?
Interest rates are insane.
Yeah.
I worked out on average, they're all different interest rates, but on average, of the portfolio, probably sitting at 7.5% across the board.
Yeah.
So 7 grand, not too bad.
Are you going to go through a refi? Can you go through a refi? Because you work with my broker. Yeah, are you going to look at going through a refi on the portfolio? You can't do it just yet.
100%. Like I'd only settled yesterday. Yeah. So probably next week, I want to look at how much I can do a huge refi and then.
See we can chop down and release a bit of equity like rate wise as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, sweet. Okay. All right, beautiful, man. And okay, so total net cash flows in a portfolio that size sitting at 7 grand negative, which in the scheme of things, man, you've got one big bopper that's obviously a ridiculous rental yield, and then you've got the house and granny flat as well, which is obviously it's like a 10.5% rental yield.
Yeah.
But then you've got your others that are a bit more blue chip. You've pulled a lot of equity out as well, and you've kind of gone down that journey. So to be sitting, you know, with interest rates across the board as an average in your own portfolio? Because I remember we had to low dock a bit of stuff and go some pretty high rates to when you jump back into the Perth and the first Queensland deal. There's a lot of high rates in there, right? So once you can chop those back down, you know, I mean, it's crazy because for like, what did you say? You got $2.4 million worth of debt. Mm-hmm. For every, you know, for every 1% that you could shave off your...
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, man. It's on that thing, it's $24,000 a year, which is a big turnaround on that front as well. Mm-hmm. So that's cool, man. And then obviously if we're looking in the next 12 to 24 months, we're probably going to see rates come back down. So I think it'll be very interesting to watch a big shift, I think, come through even in the cash flow side of your portfolio when you refi some rates back down and when you also see a bit of that come back down as well. But to have a portfolio that size, 60% of LVR sitting at that with those interest rates, mate, that's still a very impressive feat, man. So well done.
No, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Mate, I'd love to know, what are your key takeaways from your journey, from building your portfolio and what you've done today?
Key takeaways, one of all, after that, taking that loss, I think don't be afraid to take a loss, sort of thing. That taught me to, you know, sometimes you got to take a couple steps back to take the next 10 forward rather than just sitting there and doing nothing.
I love that. 100%.
Another key takeaway, I suppose, is, well, for like other guys listening out there, like might be in the same position, like, you know, a bit younger, is to go out and find someone that has done exactly what you want to do and just... Yeah, follow that person, mate.
Love it.
Because that's exactly what I do with you.
Yeah. So, I love it, mate. Yeah. I love it. They're your key takeaways.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Mate, I love them. They're very similar to my key takeaways as well. But before I jump into them, I'm going to ask you, it's funny as well, because like the questions I was going to ask you are almost like your key takeaways of what you've already given me as well. Because the first thing I was going to ask you is like, what would you tell your younger self, you know, coming through about to start right now?
Yeah.
Would be exactly that, right? Would we go find someone?
Yeah, it'd pretty much be that. And like... Yeah, honestly, that, like, go out and that's huge, don't you reckon? Like, go out and find whatever goal you have, go find someone who has done that.
Yeah, man. I agree with you completely. I think this is the thing, man, is like, I look at, you know, the amount of people, obviously, that listen to the podcast and they're learning as much as they can. The amount of people that work with us at Australian Property Scout, and we help them build their portfolios, you know, from a strategy and an acquisition perspective. And then obviously even the people coming through and buying school of property and educating themselves around that, like, the amount of stuff people learn in the potty and the amount that we give away for free in this thing, just imagine that essentially on bloody steroids within school or property, because the information that's in there, it's like all the stuff that I've done. And you think about all the stuff that Jakey's done, again, hit all that with a bloody cycle of steroids. You're starting to get to the sort of level, 100%. You know, the amount of shit that we've done out there. So, man, I think that's like, it's so key. It's finding someone that you can emulate and replicate their success and guide you on that rather than, you know, either just bumbling your way through and trying to figure it out or following someone that hasn't done what you want to do, man. So I love that, mate. Man, my key takeaways from this as well, probably dialing all the way back to the very start, is being book smart and, you know, having a uni degree and doing what your parents probably want you to do from that front. It isn't everything, right? So you and I are both proof in the pudding that you don't need to go to uni and get a degree and all the rest of sort of stuff to be very, very successful. So I think, like, especially if you're someone young listening to this, or maybe you're someone, you could be anything, your 20s, 30s, 40s, anything, and maybe you haven't had the best shot at life, or you've come out of something on the back end or whatever. Maybe you've ended on your ass and you're out of a divorce or something and you're starting again or whatever. Just because you don't have a super high paying job, or just because you don't have a uni degree and all these things behind you, it doesn't mean you can't still kill it. You literally follow Jakey's last piece of advice there, or follow, you know, engage with someone or work with someone or follow someone else who has done what you're trying to do. You can create anything. You look at what 100%. Jakey's created here, $1.6 million worth of net equity and a ridiculous yield in 7 years, starting on 40 grand a year. And what, like, I, you know, to throw in there what I've done as well in the last 14 plus years in my own portfolio, building to 60 plus and whatever the bloody hell it's worth now as well. Mate, it doesn't matter. You follow someone that has done that before you as well, and you emulate that strategy and that success. That's what's going to take you there. So, man, I love that there, your kind of key takeaways. And obviously, with mine to recap on that, being book smart isn't everything. Doesn't matter. Anyone can create financial freedom, financial independence. There's a funny saying, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to get this wrong. But it's something like the kids that were smart at school, they always end up working for the kids that weren't, or whatever it was like that. You know what I mean? They're made fun of, whatever, being a dumb bastard. Because it's funny, man. It's so true that, like, they so often will have that entrepreneurial mindset, or that mindset just to dig in and go as hard as they can. Whereas when you just, I'm going to focus on the, you know, the year 12 and all the rest of it, which is nothing wrong with that, or focus on the HSC. It's almost like bred into you that you just have to almost be like a pawn in the game of life and a big unit, a big organization or something, instead of, okay, well, how do I think about how I get to these different levels you did for yourself as well?
Yeah, 100%.
Man, I love that. I love that. Man, the other big takeaway I had as well was know what you're worth. So one of the big things you said there as you were going through it as well is know what you're worth. You should be asking for what you're worth out there as well. Something, you know, I did through my journey as well. And it's funny, man, like when you know it, that person knows you're coming to ask. And often they're like, oh, I expected you to ask earlier, or they can't do without you at the money you're asking for, and they're going to pay you for it. And if you know what you're worth, if they're not willing to pay you for it, fuck them off and go somewhere else.
Yeah, 100%.
It's always going to be better off for you. And man, that's 100%. One of the biggest things I look back on myself. I wish I jumped ship early and done what I did, but it taught me lessons and it created a lot from me. My final point for the biggest takeaways was your one as well. Work with someone or emulate someone who's done what you're trying to do. Don't work with someone, listen to someone else who hasn't actually done physically achieved what you're trying to do. And when I say that, guys, there's a little underlying message in there. I'm saying what you're trying to do from where you're starting from. There's a lot of people out there who like, oh, I got, you know, 20, 30 properties or whatever, but they're running a big business or a brokerage or a buyer's agency or a real estate agent, or they're a doctor or whatever. Like when you have to take everything with a pinch of salt. If you're looking to emulate someone else's success, it has to be kind of from where you're starting from. Mm-hmm. Because if someone's making $1 million a year or 200 grand or 300 grand a year and you're on 40 grand a year, you can't build it the same way that they build it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to be super, super careful, diligent, and understanding of when you're trying to pick your mentor.
100%.
Jakey, man, I love everything you've delivered here today, mate. I've loved hearing your story. There was things in there that I hadn't ever heard before. Anything you want to wrap this up with?
Mate, I think that's it.
That's like, it?
Yeah. I'm feeling good and
Mate, you delivered well, mate. It was great to have you on here. I'm excited to see where you take this thing in the next couple of years as well. Yep. We're going to finish with something different that we have never done before. And guys, we're going to get in a rapid fire. If you want to know the real Jakey McGregor, here we go. We are going to hear it right now. Mate, we're going to smash these quick. I want you to get back. I don't want a Lukey Chewson interest rates versus inflation 40 minute explanation on every question. I want you to come back and hit me with the first thing that comes to mind. Give me the music producer. And we're on. Mate, the biggest goal that you're chasing.
20 properties.
Oh yeah, 20 big properties. 20. Dream primary residence. Where is it? What's it worth? What is it?
Acreage worth a couple million. Hampton style house, white. Yeah.
Here we
go. Big garage.
Big garage, big shed, couple of toys.
Couple of toys in there, sure.
Love it. Next holiday location.
Probably Thailand.
Oh, yeah. Right, mate. Get a couple of massages. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Dream holiday location.
Probably Europe.
Oh, yeah. Bit of a Kentucky.
Yeah.
Dirty dog. Dream job. This is a trick question.
Dream job. Garbage, mate. PA for sure. ABS.
There we go. Love it, mate. I love it. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food has to be. Beef, meat, steak.
Beef mince?
Beef mince every day.
Favorite drink?
Coke Zero. Coke Zero, zero caffeine.
Really?
100%, mate.
No way. Every day. Love it. Smashing. Mate, we're going to roll. True or false? You are commonly referred to by Big Lukey Chewson and Jimmy. Mate, this isn't me.
This is you for sure.
This is the point, isn't it, me? As the brickhead.
From who, Lukey?
Yeah.
True. Mate, wait till I see him next.
Is it true? Final true or false? Is it true you may or may not be a contestant on next year's Married at First Sight?
Not true.
We'll see. Here we go. He's going for an interview, guys. Watch out, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best looking bloke on the Goldie. He'll steal your heart. Wow. Final question. Yep. Tell me something about yourself that no one knows.
Man, I thought a lot about this one, and honestly, everyone, I'm an open book, mate.
Like, that most people wouldn't know.
Most people, my family, they know everything about me. So I'm an open book.
You're actually a teddy bear at heart.
Teddy, that's true, actually.
You're a rough head, you're a brick head, but you're a teddy bear
on the inside,
mate,
just an absolute sweetheart.
Mate, I love it. Thank you for joining us on the potty. Mate, it's been killer. You've absolutely destroyed it, mate. I hope everyone out there has really enjoyed that as well. Honestly, man, thank you for coming on and sharing, being raw, being real, sharing the wins, sharing the losses. Mate, it's all part of the journey. And I know that a lot of people will take a lot of value out of this thing and go, like, you know, be very, very inspired by what you've done, man. So you should be proud. And man, just want to thank you once again for jumping on.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it.
It's been good, mate. It's been good, mate. It's been good. Listeners, thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you took some great value out of that episode. I certainly did, and I hope you did as well. If you did, make sure you send it on to someone else you think you might be able to inspire with a similar journey to Jakey's. Maybe you know someone that's been out there that's had a big loss, or they're on a low income, or they're an apprentice dog's body, or the rest of the sort of stuff. Someone else that would take some great value. Make sure you share it on and inspire everyone that you can out there to think, talk, and act the same way that we do at APS. If you haven't left us a five-star review yet, make sure you jump on there. You leave us a five-star review. If you're not following us on the socials yet, make sure you jump over to @AustralianPropertyScout on all your social platforms to follow us for recent deals, for all great content, all the rest of the sort of stuff, guys, all the updates that are out there as well. Make sure you're following us on everything. You're giving us, you're sending us the love, just like we love you. Thank you for listening in once again to the Scouting Australia podcast.